This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Chapter 28. The End of Mr. Bear. The next time the little boy sought Uncle Remus out, he found the old man unusually cheerful and good-humored. His rheumatism had ceased to trouble him, and he was even disposed to be boisterous. He was singing when the little boy got near the cabin, and the child paused on the outside to listen to the vigorous but mellow voice of the old man as it rose and fell with the burden of the curiously plaintive song, a senseless affair so far as the words were concerned, but sung to a melody almost thrilling in its sweetness.
"Hand me down my walking cane, hey, my lily, go down the road. Your true lover gone down the lane, hey, my lily, go down the road."
The quick ear of Uncle Remus, however, had detected the presence of the little boy, and he allowed his song to run into a recitation of nonsense, of which the following, if it be rapidly spoken, will give a faint idea.
"Old Mr. Jackson, finest confraction, fell down stairs for to get satisfaction. Big Bill Frey, he ruled the day. Everything he called for come one, two, by three. Gwine long one day, met Johnny Hooby. Axed him grind 9 yards of steel for me. Told me which he couldn't. Then I heist him over Hickerson Dickerson's barn doors, knock him 99 miles under water. When he rise in pike, straddle on a handspike, and I left him dar smokin' er de hornpipe. Juba Rita Seda Breda. Aunt Kate at de gate, I want to eat, she fry de meat and gimme skin, which I fling it back again. Juba!"
All this, rattled off at a rapid rate and with apparent seriousness, was calculated to puzzle the little boy, and he slipped into his accustomed seat with an expression of awed bewilderment upon his face.
"Hit's all just dat away, honey," continued the old man, with the air of one who had just given an important piece of information. "And when you've been casin' shadders longer de old nigger, den you'll find out who's which, and which is who."
The little boy made no response. He was in thorough sympathy with all the whims and humors of the old man, and his capacity for enjoying them was large enough to include even those he could not understand. Uncle Remus was finishing an axe-handle, and upon these occasions it was his custom to allow the child to hold one end while he applied sandpaper to the other. These relations were pretty soon established, to the mutual satisfaction of the parties most interested, and the old man continued his remarks, but this time not at random.
"When I see dis yere swellhead folks, like dat woman what come and tell your ma about you chunkin' at her chillens, which your ma make Mars John strop you, hit make my mind run back to old Brer Bar. Old Brer Bar, he got de swell-headedness hisself, and if dere was any shwinkin', hit shwunk too late for to help old Brer Bar. Leastways, that's what dey tells me, and I ain't never heerd it disputed."
"Was the bear's head sure enough swelled, Uncle Remus?"
"Now you're talkin', honey," exclaimed the old man.
"Goodness, what made it swell?" This was Uncle Remus's cue. Applying the sandpaper to the axe-helve with gentle vigor, he began.
"One time, when Brer Rabbit was gwine lopin' home from a frolic what they'd been havin' up at Miss Meadows's, who should he happen up wid but old Brer Bar? Course, after what done passed twixt 'em, dere wa'n't no good feelin's 'tween Brer Rabbit and old Brer Bar. But Brer Rabbit, he want to save his manners, and so he holler out, 'Hey, old Brer Bar, how you come on? I ain't seed you in a coon's age. How all down at your house? How Miss Brune and Miss Brindle?'"
"Who was that, Uncle Remus?" the little boy interrupted.
"Miss Brune and Miss Brindle? Miss Brune was Brer Bar's old woman, and Miss Brindle was his gal. Dat what dey call him in dem days. So den Brer Rabbit, he axed him howdy, he did, and Brer B'ar, he 'spond dat he was mighty poly, and dey amble long, dey did, sorta familious like. But Brer Rabbit, he keep one eye on Brer B'ar, and Brer B'ar, he study how he gwine nab Brer Rabbit. Las', Brer Rabbit, he up and say, says he, "Brer B'ar, I spec I got some business cut out for you," says he.
"What dat, Brer Rabbit?" says Brer B'ar, says he.
"Whiles I was cleaning up my new ground day 'fore yesterday," says Brer Rabbit, says he, "I come cross one of dese yere old-time bee trees. Hit start holler at de bottom, and stay holler plumb to de top, and de honey's just naturally oozin' out. And if you'll just drap your engagements and go along wid me," says Brer Rabbit, says he, "you'll get a bait dat'll last you and your fambly toward the middle of next month," says he. Brer B'ar say he much oblige, and he believe he'll go along. And wid dat, dey put out for Brer Rabbit's new ground, which 'twan't so mighty fur. Leastways, dey got dar after a while. Old Brer B'ar, he 'lowed dat he can smell de honey. Brer Rabbit, he 'lowed dat he can see de honeycomb. Brer B'ar, he 'lowed dat he can hear de bees a-zoomin'. Dey stand round and talk biggity, dey did, twill bimeby. Brer Rabbit, he up and say, says he, "You do de climbing, Brer B'ar, and I'll do de rushin' round. You climb up to de hole, and I'll take dis yere pine pole and shove de honey up to where you can git her," says he. Old Brer B'ar, he spit on his hands and skint up de tree and jam his head in de hole. And sure enough, Brer Rabbit, he grabbed de pine pole, and de way he stir up dem bees was sinful. Dat's what it was. Hit was sinful. And de bees, dey swarmed on old Brer B'ar's head, twel 'fo' he could take it out of de hole, it was done swell up bigger than dat dere dinner pot. And dar he swung, and old Brer Rabbit, he danced round and sing, "Trees stand mighty high, but honey mighty sweet. Watch dem bees with stingers on dere feet." But dare old Brer B'ar hung, and if his head ain't shwunk, I spec he hungin' dare yit. Dat's what I spec. End of tale.